Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. I'm Harold Herring. Today I'm delighted to be joined by oldest daughter, Abby, who's mother of the two prettiest little grandsugars you've ever seen, married to Dr. Chris Bajon. And but she's not just our daughter, she's now Pastor Abby. And when she arrived, the family arrived here Tuesday night, she said, "Dad, I think I'd like to do a Rich Thoughts for Breakfast." I said, "That sounds great." So you get to hear our daughter today on this broadcast. Abby, glad to have you here.
Me too. Thank you so much, Dad. I am honored to be here. I'm happy to be here. And like my dad said, I have newly become a pastor, which feels like the weirdest thing in the world to me. And I joked with my dad. I said, "I'm really taking on the family business, aren't I?" So as my dad said, I have worked at the Church on the Way for the past 3 years and recently signed on as pastor of women's discipleship, which is very humbling. And this position allows me to serve the women of our congregation and really get to know them. And lately, I've been fascinated with Jesus and his ministry. I mean, really, when have we not? Jesus is a fascinating guy. The way he walks, the way he talks, the life that he leads, and it all is interesting because it all plays a very significant purpose. And while diving into the Gospels, we see that Jesus has a lot of close friends in his life. I mean, this is his band of brothers. We call them the 12 disciples. And they were close. I mean, so close, in fact, that Jesus, in John 13, decides to wash their feet, leading up to his soon coming betrayal and death. Now, let's flip this for a second. Shouldn't the disciples be washing Jesus' feet? I mean, without a question, thought, denial. I mean, they are aware that Jesus' death is coming. This is not a new concept for them. But once again, Jesus flips the script and does something notable, admirable, and counterintuitive to human nature. He humbles himself and shows love with action. He's not only going to be the sacrifice for atonement in a matter of days, but he chooses to be the example in that moment to people who know him well. He practices what he preaches and serves his friends, even when they don't get it. And he chooses to even serve a man who is about to betray him. I mean, that's love. So let's take a look into John 13. At one of the points, Jesus says to the disciples after their comments, questions, concerns, I mean, we're all looking at Peter here, about the feet washing. John 13, 14 through 15. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you." Jesus could not have made this any clearer. He is telling, nay, showing his disciples how to love and serve each other first. Because frankly, they're going to get the Great Commission later, and they're going to want to be prepared for that. And you know, honestly, I sit back and I wonder how Jesus was feeling at that moment. Okay, let's go here. You're the Son of God, sent to earth to be the sacrifice to save the world from its disgusting, tarnishing, untamable sin. You only get 3 years of ministry. The learned religious folks are always getting on to you for something. You aren't accepted even in your own town, and even your disciples don't always believe you. But they're down for the ride or walk in those times, so that must amount to something. You know you're going to die soon, and you've known who will betray you. That one hurts. You've even accepted your betrayer in your inner circle, despite Satan controlling his heart. And another one of your disciples will deny you not once, not twice, but three times. Not to mention you're about to die, take a trip to hell, and raise from the dead. I mean, this is a lot. Yet, in this moment, knowing all of that, Jesus still serves humbly. He still gives of himself. He explains what he's doing. He's setting the tone of what he wants through the people who will soon be reflecting on his memory, grieving his temporary loss, pinching themselves about his return, and then sharing the gospel. I mean, Jesus has the ultimate serve here. He serves people he knows, he doesn't know, people who betray him, people who don't believe him, and people who just want his supernatural touch. And to be honest, I know for some of you, these days, the holidays aren't easy. And you know what? That's understandable. I mean, we all have family dynamics and we all have some sort of loss. We're preparing room for the Lord. And that means looking at ourselves and truly preparing room, saying, Lord, what do you want in this season? What do you want in this moment of life for me? And when I look at really the book of John, Jesus's life, his ministry, and the way he serves his community, people he doesn't know, his friends, really anybody, it reminds me that Jesus is the ultimate friend. He is the ultimate friend for us. And we see this perfectly in this passage. So I want to encourage you in this moment of time, if you're feeling great or if you're feeling sad, that you have a friend in Jesus. And sometimes we really need to remember that, even if it's just muttering under your breath, Jesus, you are my friend, and you will never leave me or forsake me. You have not given up on me, and for that I am grateful. It's so good to be a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. I want to wish you all a Merry Christmas. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. You know, just a little note I wanted to say at the beginning that I didn't get to say. You know, I pinch myself sometimes thinking where I work. I work at the Church on the Way in Van Nuys, California. And the church was founded in 1969 by Pastor Jack Hayford. He and his wife Anna pastored for 40 years or so. And the church actually turns 50 this next year, 2019. And it's such a joy to me to work there. I realized that when I was a kid, my dad had all these collections of Bibles. I mean, every version, every type of Bible, and they all sat on this bottom shelf, lined up in a row. And then he had the Bible. I'll never forget this. He had the Bible with all of his notes. And I remember walking through these Bibles and seeing the Spirit-Filled Life Bible by Pastor Jack Hayford. And flash forward to now, 2018, I'm working at that church. Humbling. It's humbling. No matter where God has you planted, I just feel led to say this. No matter where God has you, you are where you're supposed to be. And there are people who need you. There are people who need to hear what you have to say in love and encouragement, even just a smile. Somebody needs that. And as we close off 2018, we can look back with the highs and the lows and things we wish we could have done differently or things that we did great. Hindsight is always 2020, which is great, but it also, you know, stinks sometimes. But we can look back knowing that we did what we could, and we can look forward to the future knowing that there will be more to do. I'm so grateful to be here with you all and love you all so much and so grateful for what the Lord is doing truly. I hope you keep thinking rich thoughts.
Well, baby, that was good. Thank you for sharing. For those of you who don't know, Church on the Way, their vacation Bible school this past summer, they had 360 volunteers. And if I remember right, they had about 1,700 kids get saved. And That's amazing. It really is. Couple weeks back, they had a Christmas block party and fed 5,000, scriptural number, baby, and gave away 1,100 gifts to kids who otherwise wouldn't have had a Christmas. Yeah. So it's a very active church, and, you know, we're doing that. Do you have any advice that you'd like to give to, you know, any single moms or any moms that are working, and just anything you'd like to say?
Well, I would say for the single mother, it is vital to be plugged into a church and a small group or life group if possible. There are women that will rally around you like you would not believe. We have a strong group of single moms at our church, and they all look out for each other. And we have even a group for widows, and we have handymen that come out and fix things at their house. And it's so important to just get involved, start talking, start in a life group. For the professional woman, I know that life is busy. We have in the greater LA, you know, you've traveled there, Dad, you know, the greater LA area is huge, but we have women who come from all over, and they will meet once a month, clear their schedules just to talk for a few hours. So my biggest piece of advice is get involved how you can. Start making connections with the church.
That's very good advice, especially this time of year. Would it surprise you to know there are more suicides in December than any other month of the year? Because people are depressed, they're lonely, and you can do something about that. Several things. First off, you can pray. Pray for those who are lonely. Pray for those who are alone, those who are depressed, who the enemy's attacking on whatever level. Pray for them. And if there's someone in your church or your neighborhood, a single mom, hey, give her a night out. Let her go grocery shopping without all the kids. That's a great gift that you can give. A lot of people say, well, I don't have anything to give. But yes, you do.
Yeah, sorry. Can I jump in here?
Sure.
And just say, I've realized as time has gone on, time is important. Even an hour to, I mean, I'm a mom now. If someone said, you know what, let me watch the kids while you go grocery shopping, I would jump up and down. Time is important.
And having a little time of your own is equally important. It really is. Forgive me for being proud of my daughter, our daughter, but your mom was proud of you too. But to be a woman's pastor of a woman's ministry, a church that large at 32,
almost 32.
Almost 32 is an amazing event and feat. Well, I want you to spread the love this holiday season and, you know, just speak a word of encouragement in season to people you know and maybe even people you don't know. It's a good thing to do. Baby, thank you for being with me on today's program.
Thank you, Daddy.
We love you. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says, so we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you, happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts.